Hey there, everybody. Miss Shanna. Welcome to another episode of Thews on the News with me, Keith Thews. Yeah, we had SJV Super Talk Radio going for 2 months, but now you just got me and a Facebook group under my name, Thews on the News Podcast. Stand by. We come back. We'll explain everything. We'll give you some additional news from Public News Service and talk about Trump and talk about nukes. Stay tuned.
Here are some back-to-school safety tips brought to you by Mishawaka Police Department. Walk into school. Plan your daily routine before school starts. Make sure your kids know the daily routine to and from school. Remind them to go straight home. Don't stop anywhere or use another route without permission. Have them try to walk with someone to and from school. Children should use sidewalks when available. Teach your children to recognize and obey traffic signals, signs, and crossing guards. Stand back several feet from the curb when waiting to cross a street. Remind them to always look both ways before crossing the street, even if it's their turn to cross. Here are some back to school safety tips for riding a bike to school, also brought to you by Mishawaka Police Department. Check with your school to make sure your child is allowed to ride their bike to school. Obey the rules of the road. The rules are the same for all vehicles, including bicycles. Always stay on the right side of the road and ride in the same direction as traffic. Be sure your child knows and uses all appropriate hand signals. Riding in a car to school. Wear your seatbelt. Find out your school's drop-off and pick-up procedure before the first day of school. Always have your child exit the vehicle in the sidewalk on the sidewalk side of the vehicle. Never allow them to exit on the traffic side. And finally, these are safety tips also brought to you by Mishawaka Police Department for the drivers. When entering a school zone, be sure to slow down and obey all traffic laws. Be prepared to stop when required. Always stop for city or school buses that are loading and unloading children. Watch for school crossing guards and obey their signals. Beware of and watch out for children near schools, sidewalks, intersections, on the streets, and school parking lots. Never pass other vehicles while driving through a school zone or attempt to change lanes. Never text or look at texts while driving. Eliminate distractions and avoid using a cell phone while driving through a school zone. And plan extra time to arrive at your destination when traveling through school zones. As the kids approach going back to school, and most of the kids in the area are finishing up their first full week of school, let us continue to have a good school year. Be on a lookout once again for bright yellow school buses, and stop if you see the red octagon sign out and flashing lights. Take care and enjoy the rest of your day.
Hey, welcome back to Thews on the News Podcast, heard on the show page, Thews on the News Podcast, under Facebook, and on News Source 1, Michiana. Yeah, been looking at numbers for SJV Super Talk Radio. It started very well, but over a few weeks it started dwindling down and down and down for whatever reason. Not sure. I held out as long as I possibly could, but decided to take a pause to the radio station. I didn't totally kill it. But I decided to take a pause. And I'm emphasizing that as I said it, because people kind of wonder, you know, will people care about politics come primary season or not? And kind of going on that idea. I think I'll go and restart it sometime in the late winter, early spring, when people are more interested in what's going on in current affairs. So you got me. We're going to be expanding things a bit, try to do a little more frequent shows as news becomes available so I can comment on it. This is my opinion column, if you will. And I think you're going to like it. Plus, I'll be doing some interviews as well with some of the folks leading up to the general election in November. So stay tuned for some fun. So the first thing that you're going to notice definitely is a little bit different is we're going to cover some more stories that aren't put under the Indiana News Service. And the other thing that's new is a new morning newscast. We're restarting the News to Go, News on the Go podcast, and that'll give you a good overview of things that are happening in the morning. We'll give it a good shot and trial and see how all that works. But let's turn everything over before I begin my commentary to extra news from Public News Service, Indiana Bureau.
Some 74% of young people in the U.S. believe gun violence is a problem, and almost 60% want to see stricter gun laws. That's according to a new report from American University, the Everytown for Gun Safety, and the Southern Poverty Law Center. Researchers polled a nationally representative sample of more than 4,100 people, ages 14 to 30. Wyatt Russell with American University says this generation, raised in an era when mass shootings are common, says school safety is a major concern and is associated with negative mental health outcomes.
The average young person knows at least one other person who's been injured or killed by a gun. We've seen an astonishingly high 25% of youth have been in an active shooter lockdown, not a drill, a lockdown.
A study from the Kaiser Family Foundation also found that gun violence was the leading cause of death for kids in 2020 and 2021, more than any other type of injury or illness, the highest rate among large wealthy nations. Opponents of stricter gun laws cite concerns about personal freedom and self-defense. Russell notes the survey found that a young person's access to guns, identification with gun culture, and exposure to media relating to guns correlated with support for male supremacy, belief that the Second Amendment gives individuals the right to overthrow the government, higher levels of racial resentment, and post-traumatic stress disorders.
We're working to develop some inoculation strategies to help young people stop harmful mis- and disinformation, conspiratorial thinking, and supremacist ideologies that can influence gun violence, more specifically extremist violence as well.
40% of young people in the survey said they have somewhat easy access to a gun, and 21% reported having very easy access. I'm Joe Ullery for Indiana News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org. Thousands of Hoosiers who got their health coverage through Medicaid during the COVID-19 outbreak risk losing it now that the pandemic has ended. More than 140,000 people in Indiana have been purged from Medicaid rolls as the state rechecks eligibility. So far, about 120,000 were dropped for failing to comply with procedural requests, and 20,000 are no longer eligible. Jennifer Walden is a counselor for the Indiana State Health Insurance Assistance Program, or SHIP. She says it is extremely important to make sure all your information is up to date with the State Family Social Services Administration.
Make sure your address is current, your income is current, your composition is up to date. Open your mail. It's so important that if you get a notice from FSSA, that way you're aware of what they're asking for, what you need to do so that you can stay covered.
FSSA allows Medicaid enrollees a chance to reapply up to 90 days after getting dropped. Marcus Robinson with United Healthcare says anyone dropped from Medicaid may discover it is considered a qualifying life event, which allows eligibility outside the yearly defined enrollment period, like sudden loss of employment, a change in marital status, or having a baby.
So there's a lot of things that go into qualifying for Medicaid. Obviously, your income, ability or disability status, family size, amongst other things, go into the qualification. Each state has different qualifications and eligibility. That process has begun with redeterminations continuing.
He says moving, a death in the family, or a change in your income are also little known qualifying events. Robinson says more information is on the United Healthcare website. I'm Joe Ullery for Indiana News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
A new look at clean energy jobs in the U.S. shows growth in Indiana and the prospect of greater gains in the future. The Department of Energy recently released its annual U.S. Energy and Employment Report showing clean energy jobs increased nearly 4% nationally over the last year, faster than the overall rate of job growth in the nation. Indiana saw a growth rate of over 3% in clean energy jobs. Laura Ann Arnold, president of Indiana Distributed Energy Alliance, says large solar projects are currently leading the clean energy sector.
It would appear that it's extremely robust for utility scale solar based on who is requesting interconnection. And the data from the national report shows that it's solar that continues to be out front in terms of development.
The DOE report says the clean energy sector supports over 96,000 jobs in Indiana, including in renewable energy generation, grid modernization and storage, efficiency upgrades, and clean vehicle manufacturing. Most of Indiana is connected to an electric grid managed by the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, or MISO. The DOE report tracking energy sector jobs is based on last year's numbers, but Arnold says looking at MISO's planned grid connections can give us a more current picture of upcoming projects across the region.
The MISO interconnection queue for solar only shows that there is 15,000 megawatts in the queue. That's a fairly big number. A typical, say, power plant or solar farm might be in the anywhere from 150 to 400 megawatt size.
The Department of Energy report shows the energy sector nationally has recovered 71% of the jobs lost during the pandemic, but the distribution of these jobs has shifted across technologies. For Indiana News Service, I'm Brett Pivoteau. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
It's been 1 month since Indiana announced that food banks across the state will share $2 million in state funds, and those food banks say it cannot come soon enough. Roughly 1 in 7 Indiana families has difficulty putting enough nutritious food on the table, due in part to inflation and the pandemic's lingering economic effects. The Indiana legislature doubled the amount of aid for food banks in the state budget compared to last year. The Food Bank of Northern Indiana, celebrating its 30th year anniversary, is receiving $233,000. As the school year starts, the organization is gearing up for its Food for Kids Backpack program, says Executive Director Mary Jo Martinek.
So with our backpack program, the backpacks are distributed on Fridays, and that's an incentive for a child to go to school because then they have that food on the weekend.
The backpacks are full of healthy snacks and meal items for students in grades K through 6 and is free to eligible kids in Elkhart, Kosciuszko, LaPorte, Marshall, St. Joseph, and Stark counties. Last year, weekend food was distributed to more than 2,600 students in 45 schools. Stan Siegwald is with Dare to Care Food Bank, which harvests surplus food from communities with the help of over 250 other nonprofits and faith groups. He says during the pandemic, food banks received larger volume from temporary emergency food programs, but the federal government recently reduced the amount by half just when the need is greatest.
So one of the things we've done to respond to that is we have been purchasing more food. We've spent 40% more in purchasing food in the past year than we did last year.
Dare to Care serves Clark, Crawford, Floyd, Harrison, and Washington counties. It is receiving a little over $72,000 in state funding. The amounts of state aid are based on unemployment and poverty levels in each county. I'm Terry D., Indiana News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators for transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org. The number of homeless adults in Indiana was at a troubling level even before the pandemic, and today another demographic is facing the same challenges. There is a new resource for young people who are unhoused in Indianapolis. It's called 91 Place, and it provides transitional housing for people ages 16 to 24. The program is part of Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett's three-year, $150 million violence reduction plan and is funded by Federal American Rescue Plan Act dollars. Corinne Adonimitz explains how the facility's name was chosen.
91 Place was named after Psalm 91 in the Bible. We strive to provide a safe refuge for the youth that we serve.
The program has been open since March and has already served more than 100 young people. According to an Indiana University study of homelessness in Indianapolis last year, individuals between ages 18 and 24 accounted for the smallest portion of unhoused people. But it is a number that has nearly doubled in 2 years, from 66 in 2020 to 120 in 2022. The National Network for Youth, which advocates for those who are homeless, points to instability at home, abuse, neglect, parental substance use, and family conflict as factors that feed homelessness. At 91 Place, live-in house mentors assist young people in becoming self-supporting. And providing shelter is not enough, says Adamowitz, so wraparound services are also available to help identify their top priorities moving forward.
If a youth comes to us with a medical need, we would focus on their physical health and get them to a stable position so that then we could focus on emotional health. If they have come to us without a high school diploma, we'll need to focus on educational health. Our programming is very individualized.
The network claims 90% of youth assessing youth shelters have experienced difficulties at home, some related to their sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. I'm Terry D., Indiana News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators for transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
All right, welcome back. We got 2 items that I want to go over today with you. One that's not getting enough attention, and that is a lot of military situations have been happening. And I'm not sure just how well it's making the news. It's sure making news break, but I don't think it's making the regular nightcaps, if you will. And that is, we've had some incursion with a spy plane getting toward the North Korean border, and North Korea scrambling fighter jets to intercept that. We also had kind of a spooky system of 36 hours of flights by Russia to the area between Russia and Alaska in the Alaska airspace. That happens routinely, it seems, more and more, but it still needs to be observed and monitored. Then the Brits and the Scots are also having to chase Russian out of their airspace. And then Denmark and Holland were also having to keep the Russians out of NATO airspace. They didn't make it there, but they were heading that way, and the Danes and the Dutch, they had to do some scrambling and protection. And then you also have, as I'm walking the dog, you hear other dogs in the neighborhood. Then you also have Russians running their mouth, threatening nukes, and Lukashenko from Belarus, as I would call him, Putin's butt buddy. Yeah, I know I just got to look extreme there, but he pretty much is. And Lukashenko is talking about, if you attack Belarus, well, we'll use everything at our disposal, nukes included. And yeah, we're going to even use some tactical nukes. It's only little tactical nukes. Well, nukes are nukes are nukes. And, you know, one going off is not good. And it's just going to spiral out of control. And then you also have North Korea running their mouth, threatening to attack and be under war preparations. Then you have China, who is not thrilled at all with a new Taiwanese leader. And so they're exercising their mouth and their might. And they've also, Xi Jinping has talked about trying to be in Taiwan, invading, taking it over, I believe in 2028, but speculation also has mentioned by military 2025, and that's just come around the bend. So, yeah, everybody just really needs to keep their ear to the rail, ear to the ground, monitoring this whole situation, because, you know, it's getting scary. I can't stress that enough. It's getting scary. And so please keep on monitoring. Before we go into the Trump talk for this episode, I want to ask you, please, I posted on Facebook because I want to get your reaction. I want to hear a voicemail. And there's a link on Facebook for voicemails. And I want to hear from you. Let's say Trump is not the nominee. Let's say he gets cuffed and stuffed and put in jail. I want to know, who do you favor for the backup to Trump? Let me know. Because it's interesting. I know there was Vivek Ramaswamy mentioned on the Mike Gallagher weekend podcast that we shared, and people's backup to Trump. But I want to hear what Michiana thinks. So if you do listen, please respond. Click on the link. Run the link in Chrome. Open your browser preferred to Chrome. And let's hear from you. It's easy to do, and send me a voicemail and we'll put it on the next podcast. I also have another question on there too. And so please go to the Facebook page of Thews on the News Podcast and answer one of those. All right, let's talk about the indictment. You know how David Pakman was saying about loving that "they indicted me" thing, you know? He likes that little sentence of Trump and really honestly getting on him. Well, we have all the bad guys: Mark Meadows, Giuliani, Trump himself, etc., etc., all 19 fake electors included, that are having to appear in court. Now, this is according to, I think, CNN or News Nation, Thursday or Friday of this week. And the old judge has got to throw the book at him. And yes, we will actually get a real mugshot of Trump. Not him turning it down, but, you know, I just hope they go one step further and put him behind bars, even if it's for a week. You know, come on. One of these judges has to step up to the plate and say, "Jail the jerk." Come on. But yeah, think about this. I mean, I think everybody's heard, even those of you who are Trump fans, Donald Trump talking with the election official and saying, "I need 11,000 plus more votes." And then everybody else is saying, the Mr. Mayor America Giuliani from New York saying, you know, strong-arming people and doing all this stuff. And you got now fake electors there for Georgia. They've had them busted in Michigan, Wisconsin, and I'm not sure where else, if there's any more. I'm sure there is. Maybe Arizona, I don't know. But yeah, they all are getting their just desserts. So please, 4 indictments. Trump can't stomach all this. I mean, he's already lashing out and bad-mouthing Mike Pence. I remember watching it on that Saturday morning when he proudly showing off, "This is my vice president candidate, Mike Pence." Then he went on a long spiel. Then he finally allowed Mike Pence to say a few appropriate words, you know, humbly. But, you know, then he turns around and he's bad-mouthing Mike Pence. Well, kudos to Pence for dealing with the prosecution, according to the talking heads that we have carried on SJV Super Talk. But, you know, it just stands to reason that more is coming out. And I do applaud all those who stepped up and openly and honestly spoke their piece against Donald Trump and company and get him incriminated. And I just hope they do get put behind bars. So we'll see. But we'll look forward to the official mugshot of Trump 2023. And how this is going to be affected, I don't know. We also got a debate. Debate. God, I love them debates. Looking forward to seeing that. Giving my two cents on another future podcast. Yes, I want to know also, if it's not mentioned in the request for a voicemail, who are you rooting for in the debate? And I want, we'll also try to see about getting a chat group going, things like that. But I want to know some comments. We're going to have fun post debate. Anyway, well, I think that's a good start for tonight or today, whenever you listen to Thews on the News. We'll have more surprises. And again, the Super Talk Radio is on pause. And then when it looks like it's going to be deemed right to come back, we'll be back with that in full. And you can enjoy those great hosts like Tom Hartman, David Pakman. You know, we're going to find a way, and I'm sure I'll have a surprise what to do for Dana Black, because Dana's our Hoosier. Dana's speaking the good speak for the left, and so we want to hear more from Dana and also from the All Indiana Politics folks and Wish TV. All right, guys, you have a good one. This is Keith. Until then, God bless and keep you safe.